Hello, friends. And this is Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting live from the studios at KKNW here at 1150 a.m. in Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle in the United States. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and much happier place. And I know that with everyone's help, we'll make this planet a better place. I want to thank everyone for listening today. We've got listeners all over the world, and your support has really made a difference in transforming this planet to a much better place. Today's show will be really special because during the first hour from 2 to 3 p.m. Seattle time, I'll be interviewing Joe St. Clair, who's the executive director of the Laszlo Institute of New Paradigm Research in Italy, who's been working hard to make this planet a much better and happier place. The Laszlo Institute was founded by Professor Irvin Laszlo, who's one of the world's most famous scientists. His website is www.irvinlaszlo.com. That's E-R-V-I-N-L-A-S-Z-L-O.com. Or also the Laszlo Institute at www.laszlo.com. During the second hour from 3 to 4 p.m., I'll be interviewing Dr. Matthew Johnson. He's an incredibly interesting fellow. He's a licensed clinical psychologist and a Sasquatch contactee and researcher. He's been in contact with the Sasquatch for years, and he's now writing a book on messages for humanity from the Sasquatch, which is an advanced race that's been here on the Earth for hundreds of thousands of years. He'll be talking about his experiences with the Sasquatch, and during the interview, I will be playing five different actual audio clips of Sasquatch talking to him. So this should be really out of this world. His website is www.actsmedford.com, and I think you'll really enjoy that program. I really appreciate everyone's support for this radio program because Out of This World is a nonprofit program supported entirely by donations. And for those who'd like to donate, please go to the donate button at the upper right-hand corner of the program webpage at outofthisworld1150.com and just click on it. And with that, I want to thank everyone so much for their donations and support, especially Marco in Finland, Judith in California, Marie and Alan in Camino Island, Robert, Julian, Louise in Bellevue, Washington, Randy and Jessica in Mercer Island, Darren in Olympia, Washington, Corey in Kent, Washington, Robert in Bellevue, as well as Tom Frazen, Sig Sandby in Norway, David Lowe, Juan McGregor, and Raj Shastri in Toronto, Canada, and everyone around the world who's helped me raise consciousness and make this world a better place. I'd also like to welcome my new listeners from Venezuela, Colombia, the Dominican Republic, France, Germany, England, Australia, and Japan as well. I have many listeners in Japan. I'm so happy for their support. Also, I'd like to thank the many sponsors of this show, including the Crystal Voyage Bookstore in Tacoma and the wonderful Orion Tech Computers of Bend, Oregon. We're also looking for sponsors and advertisers for the show, and any advertising on the program will have a worldwide audience for your goods and services. And I know that with everyone's help and by working together, we can and will make this planet a much better and happier place. With that, I'd like to thank my dear friend Carol's for designing my website and providing wonderful support, my friends Michiko Hayashi, as well as Hiro Emoto, Mrs. Emoto, and Dr. Yasu Nemoto of the Emoto Peace Project and Emoto Office in Tokyo, Japan, my friends in the Galactic Alliance who've been supporting my show, my angelic and earthly family, as well as my wonderful sound engineer Eric and my station manager Eric Krima, without whose help and support this program would not have been possible. Finally, I've started a new spiritual mentoring program for those who'd like to get in touch with the other side and talk to loved ones who've passed on. Please call me or send me an email. My email is outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. And I can also be reached on my cell phone here in the United States at 509-750-9793 or toll-free in the United States and Canada at 1-888-879-8339. I wanted to tell you, too, that Out of This World Television is now broadcasting three times a week on Comcast Channel 22 here in the Puget Sound area of Washington. These TV programs are also available both on YouTube and Vimeo under either Ted Marr or Out of This World Television. The current broadcast schedule is Tuesdays at 6 p.m., Wednesdays at 1:30 p.m., and Saturdays at 7 p.m. Here in the Puget Sound area, again on Comcast Channel 22. Finally, I want to thank everyone who came to my Galactic Wisdom Conference in June. It was an incredible success. And for those who missed it, there's two opportunities to view the videos. If you like, all the videos for the 3-day conference are now available on Vimeo for $47 with presentations from Michiko Hayashi, the Emoto Peace Project in Tokyo, Scott Lemriel and the Galactic Alliance, Billy Faye Woodard and Zora of the Hollow Earth, who's an interesting fellow, Australian Aboriginal healer Robbie Holtz, famous Canadian psychic and medium Garnet Schulhauser, famous English UFO contactees Simon Parks, and many others. If you'd like to watch the videos, please go to my website at www.outofthisworld1150.com and just click on the PayPal link, or you can go to the website at galacticwisdomconference.com. I want to tell briefly everyone, before we go to Joe in England, who's waiting patiently, I want to tell some wonderful events that will be coming up on September 17th, which is in about a little more than 2 weeks, from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. I'm be part of what I call a Cosmic Awareness Fair at the Washington RV and Event Center at 9101 Stillicum Road in Olympia, Washington, about an hour south of Seattle. I'll be there along with some really wonderful psychics and mediums, including Teresa Carroll, Carolyn, Jerry White, and many, many others. Admission is free, and I hope you can all come. One of the things that I'll be having there at the Awareness Fair are copies of the Messages from Water, a children's version of Dr. Emoto's work. It's a beautiful book. It's only $5 for a donation, and I'll be having a lot of those available and other things as well. If you're interested, please stop by. Then from October 19th to November 5th, 2016, I'm sponsoring a West Coast tour by Michiko Hayashi, the Emoto Peace Project in Tokyo. She'll be starting off in the San Francisco Bay Area on October 19th and 20th, giving presentations there, moving on up to Olympia, Tacoma, Seattle, and finally ending up in Vancouver, Canada, on November 4th. If you'd like to see the schedule of events, please go to my website at outofthisworld1150.com, and you'll be able to see there on, under events by Sunday or Monday. Finally, this Monday on September 5th, Bob Satai, Kim, and I are promoting a worldwide water ceremony. I'm asking everyone to participate. Bob's a wonderful radio talk show host on Tribal Talk, which airs on KLAY Radio on 1150 a.m. in Lakewood, Washington, just south of here in Seattle, on Thursdays from noon to 1 p.m. We're asking everyone around the world to say water prayers to help the planet on September 5th. And with that, what I'd like to do is ask everyone to say the following water prayer today. And when you say it, please visualize sending lots of love and light to the children and people of Fukushima. It's still a problem. There's still radiation leaking out. And I've been told by my spiritual friends that just saying this prayer three times and sending lots of love and light to the kids and the children of adults of Fukushima will really help. It's a very simple little prayer. It goes something like this, and if you can, please repeat it. Water, we are sorry. Water, please forgive us. Water, we love you. And water, we thank you. And again, I'd like to do this two more times. Water, we are sorry. Water, please forgive us. Water, we love you, and water, we thank you. And again, one last time, water, we are sorry. Water, please forgive us. Water, we love you, and water, we thank you. And with that, I'd love to ask my wonderful sound engineer to please play the first couple of minutes of this beautiful water song. I played it before. It's a Japanese version, but it was one of Dr. Emoto's favorite songs. And I just listen, please, for the next couple of minutes, and then we'll come back on the air with our guest. Hello, friends. I know I played that song before, but isn't it beautiful, though? I always have such a beautiful, calm feeling whenever I play it. And, you know, as I was playing it, this beautiful white light came into the studio here, and I always love it when that happens. It's a partially cloudy day here in Seattle, and I'm looking out over the city, but I know that my angel friends are always here when I have this light come in and the light's there. With that, I'd like to go to my good friend and Joe St. Clair, coming to us live from his home in Oxford, England. Joe, hi, good afternoon. Oh, I should say good evening. How are you today?
Hi, Ted. Good evening. It's a great pleasure to be on your show, and thank you for inviting me.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure. Now, Joe, I want to tell everyone a little bit about your background. You're the executive director of the Lossell Institute of New Paradigm Research in Italy, which is working hard to make this planet a much better and happier place. The Lossell Institute, of course, was founded by Professor Irvin Laszlo, who is one of the world's most famous scientists. His website, if you'd like more information about Professor Laszlo, is www.ervinlaszlo.com. And I first met Professor Laszlo through the Yamato office in Tokyo I believe it was in May, at the Symphony of Peace Prayers outside of Mount Fuji in Japan. And at that time, it was such a beautiful event. They were sending peace prayers both from Mount Fuji as well as from a castle in Denmark at the time, covering the entire globe with their peace prayers. And because we are all powerful spiritual beings, I think these prayers really had an effect on making this planet a better place. You have an interesting background, Joe. You started your career out in finance and IT, working your way up to as an executive position as the head of special products at Nationwide Building Society in the United Kingdom. And then you've had a series of jobs after that. But there was something that changed your life years ago. And you met an angel or a guide in a pub. Tell me about that, if you could tell my listeners about that. It's a very interesting story.
Sure, Ted. I'm happy to share it. I wasn't when it first happened. I was really kind of in a state of shock. But it's a little easier to talk about it now. Yeah, as you said, my background was very traditional. I was in management consultancy for many years. And I was working in the boardrooms of some of the world's biggest companies solving corporate problems. Mm-hmm. That was my life. Pinstripe suit, cufflinks and tie, and mm-hmm. Corporate boardrooms. Uh-huh. So a world away from anything very, very spiritual. But that all changed for me in July 2011, mm-hmm. when I was having a very normal management reunion with some buddies who'd been working all over the world. And once a year, we all convened in a local pub somewhere on the planet. We would choose a location and we'd all fly and meet up and socialize. Mm-hmm. And on this occasion, we were in Mayfair in London, mm-hmm. and just enjoying a reunion with old buddies, mm-hmm. when the door of this Mayfair pub opened and a very, very strange person came in. Mm-hmm. She was small. She was dressed from head to toe in a black cloak and hood. Mm-hmm. And she looked around the room. Nobody knew who she was. I had no idea who she was. Uh-huh. And she walked straight over to me. She knew my name. And she said, "Hi, Joe. You don't know me. I've come to give you a message." My friends were all asking me, "Who's this?" And I said, "I have no idea." Mm-hmm. Obviously, we couldn't talk in a crowded pub, so all she said was, could we meet up a week later? Mm-hmm. And I was intrigued. I didn't mm-hmm. know who she was, what she wanted, what the message was. I actually thought she was probably quite mad, to be perfectly honest. Sure. But we did meet up a week later. I was interested. And I realized almost immediately there was something very, very otherworldly about her. Mm-hmm. I always hesitate to use the word angel, but and she never called herself an angel, mm-hmm. but certainly she was like no other human I'd ever met. Mm-hmm. She was very angelic in many, many ways. Mm-hmm. And she said she was a messenger and that she had come to wake me up. And these were her words. Mm-hmm. Wow. And I I'm quite an open-minded guy, so I didn't dismiss it. I thought she was, I still for a long time, probably 2 or 3 months, I still wasn't quite sure about her. But gradually, as I got to know her, I realized she was very, very genuine, and the messages were very, very real. Mm-hmm. And she started to tell me things about my childhood that only my mother would have known. Mm. So I realized she was very genuine. Yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, you know, it's interesting you mentioned that, and then you became, after that, how did it change your life? She wanted to wake you up. Was that in a spiritual sense to change careers? And
very much so, yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What she actually said was that she her job or her mission on this planet mm-hmm. was to find what she called sleepers. Mm. And what she meant by sleepers, she explained to me, uh-huh. was across the world there are many, many thousands of people who have really come to Earth to fulfill a mission, which is to make the planet a better place for all.
Beautiful.
And these are people who were probably spiritual leaders in a previous life, or influential people in a good way, people mm-hmm. who tried to make a difference. Mm-hmm. But in this incarnation, they've kind of forgotten who they are. And sure. I think that was true of myself. Mm-hmm. I was so immersed in my corporate world and doing normal day-to-day things with my family that I'd kind of suppressed my spirituality. Mm-hmm. And this lady, Astrea was her name, mm-hmm. and she said her mission was to find and wake up sleepers to get back on the path, get back on their spiritual path, and wake up to their true nature. Mm-hmm. So it was quite a radical shake-up, because mm-hmm. the more I listened to her, and we met up every week for a period of 18 months.
Oh, my goodness.
It was quite a long, long period. Mm-hmm. And every week when we met up, she would teach me things mm-hmm. that were very, very relevant. And she would remind me of things from previous lives. But the main objective was mm-hmm. she was saying to me, Joe, you're here on this planet for a mission, for something very, very important. Stop messing around with management consultancy and other things mm-hmm. and start getting back on your true path. Mm-hmm. You're here to make a difference to this world mm-hmm. and you're here to run an organization that will bring together powerful and influential people mm-hmm. who want to contribute to raising the consciousness of the world and mankind to actually solve a lot of the deep-rooted world problems, very practical problems, mm-hmm. pollution, climate change, deforestation, etc.
Sure.
So she absolutely woke me up. And from that day forward, I realized I was definitely going to move out of management consultancy in my old life mm-hmm. and follow my spiritual path. And I've been doing that ever since with no regrets. And I thank Astrea for waking me up. She made my life have a purpose and a mission. And I'm still on that mission.
Oh, that's beautiful. Now, when's the last time you talked to her? Does she still come around to see you, or?
No, what happened is because of her life's mission to wake up sleepers, she has to move on from mm-hmm. once she's been successful, and she's not always successful. She told me that a lot of people she woke up mm-hmm. very, very quickly couldn't handle it and slipped back into old ways.
Oh, too bad.
So once she's woken someone up and gets them on the path, she moves on.
Mm-hmm.
We spent 18 months together, mm-hmm. and at the end of the 18 months, she said the time was time for her to go, because I was ready mm-hmm. to follow my path without her guidance.
Mm-hmm.
I asked her if I would ever see her again, mm-hmm. and she said no. This was December 2012,
uh-huh.
But she said that she would send me messages through other people.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what she meant at the time, mm-hmm. but what's happened since December 2012 is on 6 or 7 occasions, people I can only describe as perhaps clairvoyant, medium, psychic,
sure.
have actually, complete strangers have come up to me in the
mm-hmm.
street
mm-hmm.
and just said, Joe, I've got a message from Astrea. And it really is that shocking.
Wow.
But I've got used to it now.
That is so incredible. That is so incredible. I want to share with you, if I may, experience another gentleman I had on my show some months ago. He also went to my conference here in June, named Garnet Schultheiser. He was a former corporate lawyer out of a big law firm in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. And he was taking a lunch break one day, one sunny summer day in Calgary, stepping out to this mall area, and this homeless man comes up to him, and he had piercing, beautiful eyes like an angel. And he came up to him, and at first Garnett said that he tried to get away from him, but that he was drawn to him because he felt a really good energy about him. And he turned out to be one of his guardian angel for him. And wow. What was interesting is that he gave him the same message, that he was here to enlighten humanity, to make the planet a better place. And Garnett has paid attention, and he has since retired from corporate practice in Alberta. And is now, he's the author of 3 or 4 or 5 different books, wonderful books about how we as a civilization, as humanity, should take much better care of this planet, and that we should live in peace and harmony and not fight all the time. And also, too, that Mother Earth is very unhappy about the way many humans have treated her with all the pollution and everything. But it's time now for things to change. You know, and I wanted to share you quickly, too, with my own story. Years ago, I was in a library at the time. This was back in 2012. And I had a homeless man came up to me out of nowhere. I never met him before. And he came up to me and he knew my name. He said, "Ted, I'm here to give you a message." And I looked at him. I was startled because he knew my name. And I said, "Well, what's the message?" And he said, "You need to do 2 things. You need to go to start your own radio program and to start writing books." And then it was about, I think, 2 or 3 months later, another fellow who I'd never met before, this fellow wasn't a homeless man, but he knew my name. Out of nowhere, he comes walking to me up in this library, another library, different city, and he says, "Ted, I'm here to tell you 2 things. You need to start your own radio show and to start writing." So I started my radio show in 2013, and I've started actually writing a book now with messages from the masters, from different spirits. But I mean, for everyone out there, I think there are guardian angels who watch over us constantly. And when you hear those messages, you have to pay attention to them, because they're there for a reason and a purpose. Joe, I wanted to ask you, if you were king of this planet, what would you do to make it a better place?
Well, I'm doing everything I can at this moment to make it a better place, mm-hmm. In many, many ways. But I think the key is that we have a misunderstanding here. There are thousands and thousands of really, really good people across the world doing mm-hmm. amazing things.
Sure.
And we're trying to tackle some of these deep-rooted problems that we have on this planet. We're mm-hmm. trying to tackle, as you know, pollution, deforestation, climate change, poverty.
Sure.
And a lot of well-meaning people are believing that science is going to solve these problems.
Right.
And I think that's the wrong approach.
Mm-hmm.
And we can see that that's the wrong approach from the actual evidence. When we try to use scientific means to solve a problem that perhaps science has caused mm-hmm. inadvertently, then it usually fails. And one example of that is, of course, the Gulf of Mexico oil spill,
right,
where the worst oil spill disaster of all time was mm-hmm. killing a massive amount of sea creatures.
Right.
And science came up with a solution. And it was on the news at the time, you may recall, where they had found some algae that would eat oil. Mm-hmm. So they spread the surface of the Gulf of Mexico with algae
right.
developed by scientists,
mm-hmm.
and it did eat the oil, and people were delighted. But, of course, the side effect was it started eating everything else on the seabed as
oh
well,
my God. Mm-hmm.
the corals and the fish and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So science doesn't always work.
Right.
And I truly believe, and I've spent a lot of time on this, mm-hmm. that we cannot solve the world's problems until we change ourselves.
Right.
As individuals.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is we're all human. We all have human failings. Even if we try our best, mm-hmm. we still sometimes fail because of human nature.
Mm-hmm.
And it's when we change our consciousness
mm-hmm.
and the way we think
mm-hmm.
that really is going to solve the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're seeing, I mean, my example of with my encounter with Australia is just one small example.
Sure.
But there are thousands and thousands of people across the world who are over the last few years, there's been a change in the air. They're starting to wake up. They're starting to question, what am I here for?
Sure.
What's my purpose? And once they start asking those questions, it leads them to thinking more about their soul, their consciousness. And it's when we start to work on our consciousness and think of the world in a different way that we're going to start solving the world's problems.
Well,
I couldn't
agree with you more, Joe, that you've hit it right on the head. You've hit it right on the head. There was a wonderful man named Dr. Masaru Emoto. Of course, I've talked to him many times about him on my show before. But before he passed away in October 2014, he was considered one of the world's most spiritual people. And he wrote a book back in 2010 or 11 called The Law of Hado. And in Japanese, Hado means vibration. And he thought that vibration was everything. And he did some examples of that. He took, for example, a bottle of radioactive water after Fukushima in 2013. And on this bottle of water, Joe, he wrote the words love and gratitude and also put a beautiful water crystal on it that was produced from the words love and gratitude right on the bottle. Well, within about 48 hours, guess what happened? The water resonated with the higher vibration of love and gratitude, and the radiation completely disappeared to the point where you could drink the water inside the bottle. He also went to the Gulf of Mexico back in 2000, it was either 10 or 11, and he did prayers there and was actually able to clean up a small portion of that of the Gulf through spiritual prayers.
Yeah.
And so that's one of the reasons why I do my prayers on a lot of different radio shows for Fukushima, because I know it has an effect. But what you were talking about, we need to change our attitude and we need to change our consciousness and the way we think and raise our vibration, because the planet itself, I think, is rapidly evolving into the higher dimensions.
It is, yes. Mm-hmm. And of course, Dr. Emoto is a good friend of Irvin, or was a good friend of Irvin Laszlo before he passed away. Mm-hmm. And of course, I work very, very closely with Irvin, and Irvin's always been a great admirer of his work with water.
Oh, yeah.
And you're absolutely right, Ted. This is another very clear message from Astraea, who was the most spiritually evolved being I've ever met. Mm-hmm. Everything is vibration. Everything is frequency.
Right.
And as we develop our consciousness, our own vibration raises. And the more of us that are doing it, the higher the vibration raises globally.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the way we can actually solve the problems, because when you start raising your consciousness, one of the side effects is you become less egocentric.
Mm.
So you become less focused on the aspects of mankind that are really causing the problems, like our greed and the way we use resources in depleting them as though it's a bottomless pit.
Right.
So just by the simple act of taking time out to develop it through meditation, through prayer, through study, and raising your vibration, this on a worldwide basis will change everything. I've absolutely no doubt.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think society too, Joe, is moving from in the past where it's been service to self, kind of like me first kind of attitude, to service to others. From selfishness and greed to thinking about others as well as love. And in that vein, I think society itself and the planet is moving from competition to cooperation, from disharmony to harmony. And I think that's the true path of humanity on this planet, because I think that's the true character of most people on this planet, is to be benevolent, loving, and giving.
Absolutely. And that's one of the key messages that we're trying to get across at the Laszlo Institute that you mentioned, the Laszlo Institute of New Paradigm Research.
Right.
What we're doing in this beautiful building in Italy is bringing together creative thinkers from all different disciplines, from health, from quantum physics, from consciousness studies, from spirituality. And by bringing them together into a beautiful location where world experts can actually discuss and talk and share and plan, this is really, really helping to move things forward on all different fronts. And this is the main mission of the Institute.
Mm-hmm.
And we only developed the Institute from October last year, 2015.
Mm-hmm.
But already we have run six very, very successful conferences, and the audience numbers are growing and the interest is growing. And that's very, very encouraging.
And one thing, too, I want to tell you, too, is that in the past, a lot of universities and academic departments around the world have been isolated in their study disciplines and without sharing. But I think in order for humanity to evolve and to really to transform this planet and to really increase our knowledge and increase our vibrations, there has to be sharing between the different disciplines like your institute's doing, and bringing together people of diverse viewpoints on this, on one problem to solve it.
Yeah, there's an awful lot of synergy. I mean, if you just take the fact we did one conference where we brought together the world's greatest quantum physicists, and they were talking about new discoveries at quantum level in particle physics. And then a month later, we would have a conference on consciousness, where we would bring together some of the world's experts on how the brain functions and consciousness. But the actual parallels between these two disciplines is uncanny, because at the fundamental level, of course, a quantum particle is nothing other than a vibrational frequency.
Right.
And so is a thought, a human thought. When you think something at the fundamental level, that too is a vibrational frequency. So all of a sudden, quantum physics and consciousness studies merge and reveal through science, not philosophy, but through science, that a thought is the equivalent of an object, that both are, at the fundamental level, just vibration.
Well, it's amazing, really. I've been in touch with the other side for 22 years, Joe, and I know that there's 12 different, I've been told by my spirit friends on the other side that there's 12 different dimensions, with the 12th dimension being the supreme being or the God or the entity who created all of this. We exist here in the third. But when you go, the fourth dimension's time, and when you go to the fifth dimension, that's where your thoughts reside. And if you think of good thoughts, often they will materialize in the third dimension here, because thoughts are things in the fifth dimension. And there's a physicality in the fifth dimension that's just as real and just as valid as this dimension. But so that people, when they raise their vibrations and they think literally good thoughts, or, for example, when Dr. Emoto wrote Love and Gratitude on that bottle of radioactive water, that was in the fifth dimension, and it took precedence over the third dimension and transformed the water so that you could drink it within 48 hours.
A great example, Ted. Yeah, and it's one of the key messages that mankind has to understand, and that is, it's the just how powerful thoughts are. And I think a lot of people just think of thoughts as being random things that's buzzing around in their brain. What shall I have for dinner today? What's it going to be like at work tomorrow?
Right.
But in fact, thoughts are very, very powerful. Every single thought has its own vibration and frequency. And you're quite right. When you start thinking in a positive way, in the glass half full rather than the glass half empty sort of idea, it makes a huge difference. And what you find is the more positive you think, the more you're attracted subconsciously to other people who think the same way. So if you're a very positive person, you will suddenly find that you're surrounding yourself with positive people who are drawn to you, and they become friends in a community.
Right.
Equally, if your thoughts are predominantly negative, you tend to move in circles of friends who think in the same way. Thought is amazingly powerful. It's key to success, really.
You know, this is just an idea I wanted to share with you, Joe. Here in the United States, of course, we devote a large portion of our GDP to the military-industrial complex. And if you got rid of that, and instead of a Department of Defense or Offense, you instead had a Department of Peace, where you had a maybe 200 or 300 or even 500 people just praying all the day for peace, perhaps that would be more effective than all the weapons that we're currently producing.
Without question. And there's a huge, enormous power of people coming together. And just by deep breathing, by relaxing, by focusing, by meditating, by chanting and by thinking positive thoughts, that is a cumulative effect that can have huge and profound positive repercussions for the planet.
Absolutely. I wanted to share with you a little story, a true story that happened to me a few weeks ago. I was in Montreal giving a series of presentations there, And I met a wonderful doctor named Dr. Effie Chow. She's the head of the East-West Healing Center in San Francisco. And I told her I've had tinnitus in my ears, which is loud ringing in my ears, for about 38 years. And I asked her if she could help me, and she said she could. So she went through some breathing exercises and some Reiki, it's called Qigong, energy exercises. And I've had ringing in both ears, in my left ear and my right ear, for 38 years. She was able to get rid of the ringing in my left ear completely and reduce the ringing in my right ear by about 50%. So I think that we are, in fact, powerful spiritual beings, that our thoughts are things, and we have to be very careful that we only think good thoughts, because they do materialize.
Yeah, absolutely, Ted. And you made another very, very good point there, that our bodies are predominantly energy-based. Mainstream Western medicine are not as far as ahead as the Chinese were about this 2,000 years ago. They knew we had an energy body. Right. And, of course, when people are suffering from ailments or illnesses or even diseases, it normally manifests first as an imbalance in the flow of their energy. And very often, if you can find someone with the skills to readjust that energy flow, a bit like acupuncture and meridians, then that is sometimes much, much more powerful than taking any tablets or medications, because it doesn't matter how many tablets or medicines you take. If your energy flow is blocked, it's not going to do much good. So, yeah, we are spirit, we are energy. And gradually, thankfully, mainstream medicine is starting to take notice of this. It's taken a long time.
Oh, absolutely. About 15 years ago, I visited the pyramids at Luxor in the Upper Nile in Egypt. And there they had some fascinating hieroglyphics. And one of them, my guide said, was that it said it in this ancient Egyptian language about 5,000 years old, Joe, it said that every disease is dis-ease. In other words, it always had a spiritual component. And as part of that, in ancient Egypt, what they would do 5,000 years ago, if someone, for example, was suffering from depression or had a physical ailment, what they would do is send them, they'd cover them lots visually, lots of golden light. And they said that golden light is God's healing light. And it would very often help people. Of course, we've lost that today, but I'm sharing this little gift with everyone out there around the planet, because if you do have a spiritual or physical condition, sharing golden light or in an area of your body that's got a pain or something can help, because it's God's healing light.
That's, yeah, absolutely, Ted. And the takes me back to this thing we were discussing at the beginning of this talk, which is about my relationship with this entity called Astraea. And I mentioned that she wanted, over the 18 months that we used to meet, she wanted to teach me things that she thought I needed to know. And one of those things was what you've just alluded to, which is learning how to see what we call the aura around a human body. And when you start to see people's auras, you can see not only the shape and the color and the energy flow, but you can also see where there are maybe little specks of pollution, you might call it, or they're slightly tarnished, where the golden light needs a bit of a polish.
Oh, how interesting. That's fascinating. Now, I'm in Seattle. You're in Oxford, England. We're probably separated by only 8,000 to 10,000 miles. But can you see my aura today? Is that possible for you to do remotely, or do you need to be with the person
visiting? I would need to be with you. I think probably if Astraea was here, she could probably shut her eyes and tell you exactly what your aura looks like. But I'm not that developed yet.
Okay.
But if you were here face to face, I'm sure I could.
And for people out there in the listening audience, pay attention to the little messages you get, even from auras, and don't second-guess yourself. The reason I'm saying that is because when I was first on my spiritual path back in the 90s, in 1996, I was my mother at the time had Alzheimer's, and I was hiring a caregiver for her to help take care of her. And the lady I got was a college student. She came into the house, and the first thing I saw on her, Joe, was this dark gray aura on top of her head. And later I found out that meant that she was a thief. And unfortunately, I didn't pay attention to it. And we did hire her to help take care of my mom at the time. But unfortunately, she turned out to be a thief and stole many thousands of dollars worth of things. So I regret it was an expensive lesson, but one I've tried to pay attention to in the future, that if you do see an aura like that on someone, run away. Don't get close to them because they're...
Yeah, they can't hide their aura.
That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. Well, one of the things, I've done a lot of study of Nostradamus, and he said, Joe, that in the future, in another 10 to 20 years, the kinds of things that like for you to see auras or for me as a psychic to look into the future, to read people's minds, that'll become commonplace in the next 10 to 20 years.
I think that's absolutely right, because mm-hmm. these are skills that we're not suddenly developing. Mm-hmm. These are skills that every single human on the planet has mm-hmm. internally. It's just they're not consciously aware of how to tap into them and how to use them. Mm-hmm. So there's nothing special about me or most people who can do some of these things. There's nothing mm-hmm. special at all. Mm-hmm. It's just that we've learned to tap in what's already inside us. But mm-hmm. everyone has this potential. And right. as the world is becoming more spiritually aware mm-hmm. and we're trying to get more in touch with our heart and our consciousness, I think that will naturally lead to people starting tapping into their internal wisdom.
One of the people I had at... I wanted to share this with you, Joe. I hope you don't mind me interrupting. One of the people I had at my conference in June was a fellow named Billy Fay Woodard. He says he's from the Hollow Earth, another human civilization that's actually inside a planet Earth here, and they're very advanced. They've been there for at least 12,500 years old. And one of the most interesting things that he told me during that conference was to always follow your heart mind. In other words, you've got a logical mind in your brain in the third dimension, but your heart mind is thousands of times stronger, and it's always correct. So if you follow your heart mind, in other words, your intuition, when you make decisions, you'll never go wrong.
Yeah, that's another profound lesson that Astrea taught me, mm-hmm. which was she was a wonderful teacher. She was a bit like Mary Poppins, you know, mm-hmm. the way she looked and the way she spoke, a very young Mary Poppins. Mm-hmm. But she used to say things to me, Joe, will you stop using your analytical brain for a moment and start using your intuition and your heart a bit more, then we'll get somewhere. Mm-hmm. So I learned that lesson, and it was some wise words from her.
One of the fascinating things that happened to me in the spring, in April, when I was flying back from Tokyo to Seattle after doing some work in Japan, is that I was prompted to take my little Android and take a picture of the moon outside my window. I was up about 39,000 feet above the Pacific, and when I clicked a picture, I'll send you a picture of this, Joe, if you like. It's also posted on my website. An angel appeared, and it had wings covered completely in pink, and it was white. You could clearly see this angel that was following me across the ocean. It was a beautiful experience, actually, because I know they're out there, but I actually saw an angel who was one of my angelic guides.
Yeah, the world is full of, we use the term angels, mm-hmm. there are all different hierarchies of angels and mm-hmm. different types of angels, so it's mm-hmm. a very broad term, but mm-hmm. there are spiritual beings of all different types on different levels of vibrational frequency and maturity, mm-hmm. and most people have the ability, again, to actually see them, but we're blind to them until they suddenly appear right in front of us and shock us out of our complacency. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are skeptical because they haven't seen them, but perhaps that's because they don't know how to look.
Well, that's true. That's true. And for those skeptics out there, if you get a pair of night vision goggles, which are really fascinating, what they do, a good pair of night vision goggles, Joe, will magnify regular light or moonlight in the darkness by 50,000 times. And you can, I've seen angels I've also seen angels and lots of spirit orbs in night vision goggles where you can see them flying around. And the amazing thing is that it's like a sea at night. If you look carefully, Joe, I've been in places where it's like a snowstorm. There are so many spirits out there flying around and angels and everything.
Yeah.
It opens up a totally new view of what reality is.
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely true.
Well, tell me some of your projects for the future and some of the conferences coming up at your wonderful institute where people could go to.
Yeah, we would love to welcome as many people as possible. And you've kindly given out the website address of the Laszlo Institute, where we'll be posting events and conferences. Mm-hmm. We've run successful ones up to now on health and well-being, consciousness, mm-hmm. spirituality, quantum physics. Mm-hmm. Probably the next one's going to be on the topic of education, mm-hmm. Maybe November or December this year. We haven't set the date. Mm-hmm. But this will be... The underlying theme is always about what we are doing to improve the state of the planet. Mm-hmm. So with the education conference, we'll be focusing on why we need to teach our children at school, even in kindergarten mm-hmm. or nursery school, mm-hmm. Some things they're never taught in traditional education, sure. like the sustainability, the need for sustainability of the planet, how we manage resources, mm-hmm. how we should respect wildlife and nature, mm-hmm. what we need to do for an equitable and peaceful planet, mm-hmm. and a little bit about ecology and these kind of subjects, which children just don't learn at school. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of experts on this subject that we're going to bring together who are making trial schools where this has really, really worked, and trial communities where it's made the children very, very worldly wise. And this is good. Could. But longer term... mm-hmm. What's very exciting for me in particular mm-hmm. is that at the last consciousness conference, mm-hmm. we were very, very lucky to have both Eben Alexander and Ray Moody as right. our speakers.
Right, right.
Eben Alexander, of course, is the world famous author of Proof of Heaven and Map of Heaven. Right. And Ray Moody is the world's expert on near-death experiences.
They're both incredibly interesting gentlemen. I had even at my show. He was great. He was great.
That's right.
I don't mean to interrupt, Joe, but before we lose the topic of education, I wanted to. I'm completely biased about this, of course, but one of the projects that Dr. Modo started back in 2005 was what he called the Modo Peace Project, where he teaches kids around the world a love and gratitude between the ages of 3 and 12, with the hope
yes.
that if kids learn this early. Then they're going to be more interested in building a beautiful society based on peace and harmony and love rather than conflict and war and everything. So just yeah. as a friendly suggestion, you might want to incorporate somebody from the Emoto Peace Project into your next conference. That's just as a friendly suggestion.
Yeah. No, thank you, Ted. I'm actually just compiling a list of potential speakers at the moment. So that's very, very it's great to hear that, and I've made a note of that, and okay. I'll follow up on that. Yeah.
Okay. Great. You know, one thing I want to get back to Dr. Alexander and Dr. Raymond Moody. Aren't they fascinating gentlemen? I really like Dr. Moody and Dr. Alexander. They're just great people, and they give such wonderful presentations.
They do. It was a huge pleasure to be able to invite them to the Laszlo Institute and mm-hmm. to listen to them. And of course, when Eben tells his story of his remarkable experience of being in a coma for 7 days and right. no one thinking his brain would be capable of anything when he came around
right.
after a severe virulent meningitis, when he came to and after a few months of recovery, his story of his experience mm-hmm. resonates with so many people. And oh. One of the messages he got when he was in that coma from the spirit world mm-hmm. was not just to write a book and share his experience and do conferences, mm-hmm. but to create an organization that would be targeted at raising world consciousness mm-hmm. to do good things for the planet. And, mm-hmm. and Eben created this organization called Eternia, mm-hmm. which is now in existence. And Ray Moody is on the board of directors of that organization. Mm-hmm. And what I'm currently involved in is trying to forge a strong partnership between the Laszlo Institute, which I'm managing, and Eternia. So I'm working very, very closely with the directors of the Eternia organization at the moment.
Well, that's incredible. One of the most important lessons from Dr. Alexander's research is that there's no such thing as death. Mm. That when you die, you simply change form, you go into another dimension, but you're still very much alive. Like he experienced, I think he had a near death experience where his body was in a state state of suspended animation, yeah. But his soul was still alive, and he was seeing the doctors working on it and everything. And just fascinating. And Dr. Moody talks about that, too, in his wonderful research.
Well, he does. And I think the exciting thing with Eben is that thousands and thousands of people have had near-death experiences. Mm-hmm. But the medical establishment have generally poo-pooed it and said it's just hallucinations and it's brain chemicals. But when it happened to Eben being one of the most highly respected experts on how the brain functions and a neurosurgeon,
right.
He's got the credentials to know the difference. And that's what's made his book such a success and why the message is so important.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, one of the things I like to do for people when they ask me, of course, is that when they've had a loved one pass on, parents or family or friends, with their permission, of course, I can contact the other side and put them in touch with their loved ones and able to get messages. A good psychic can do that for people. And you realize, I know that I've been in touch with my dad, who passed away in March of 99, for the past, 17 years now, and I talk to him frequently. It's a nice feeling to know that there's no such thing as death, that people still exist on the other side and they're still very much alive.
Yeah, and it's a wonderfully reassuring message for people to know that and to experience that. And in fact, one of the things I was just going to mention on that topic is that one of the goals of Eben's organization, Eternia, is to create the world's largest database mm-hmm. of what we call STEs, spiritually transformative experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And these can be anything from near-death experiences mm-hmm. to out-of-body experiences to psychic visions to meeting angels, or even, in my case, meeting a sort of non-human entity that walked into my life.
Sure.
So what we're really getting excited about, and we've got a team of people working together now mm-hmm. In the UK and in the US,
mm-hmm.
is to ask people to share these spiritual transformative experiences by going onto the Eternia website and mm-hmm. logging in and actually telling us what they've experienced, so that we can create this worldwide database of information, because we really want to pull together this knowledge into one place. It's a very exciting project.
May I make a suggestion?
Of course.
There's a wonderful man, I'm sure you know him, Professor Rupert Sheldrake out of England. He's done a lot of really wonderful research, and I know you're busy, but I think he's a wonderful man, and I think he'd be great to link up with for your research.
Yeah, thank you for that, because I haven't actually met Rupert personally, mm-hmm. but I am involved with conferences that we do over here near London mm-hmm. at a wonderful venue called Tyringham Hall,
mm-hmm.
and that there is an organization there called the Tyringham Institute,
mm-hmm.
which is working very closely with Rupert Sheldrake through my connection there. I'm sure I'll get to meet him very shortly.
Well, I could be happy to do an introduction for you. He's a wonderful man. He's been on my show a couple times. And we're getting, when you're having a good time, Joe, time goes so fast, doesn't it?
And doesn't it just?
It does.
I know.
We could talk easily another 5 or 6 hours today. But for my many listeners, I just want to say that this has been a fascinating interview with Joe St. Clair of the Laszlo Institute. I want to get to his website again. Or could you give the website again, please, for your institute?
Yes, it's www.laszlointitute.com, and that's LASZLO, or Z as you call it.
Wonderful, wonderful. Yeah, for our American listeners, Z or Z in England. there's a little differences in speech. Well, I wanted to give you, we've got about a minute left, I want to give you the rest of the time to please wrap up your wonderful interview today, Joe.
Yeah, well, I'd like to say thank you, Ted, for having me on the program, and thank you to all your listeners, because I know without doubt that the people who are listening to this are those who are probably well enlightened and are already following their spiritual path and are open-minded people who can make the difference to this planet. So I'd encourage everyone to stay on the path, follow their path, follow their heart. Try and do everything to raise your consciousness to a level where ego drops away and spirituality takes over. Because if we can all do this together in a humble way, we will make a huge difference to this planet and make it a better place for our children and our grandchildren. So we're all on this mission together. Let's connect. Let's stay connected.
Wonderful, Joe. Joe, thank you so much for coming on my radio program today, and I hope you keep up your wonderful work, my friend. I really appreciate you coming on today.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
All right. Thank you so much. Now we're going to end with this song by Imagine by John Lennon.